Ones. Can I get a witness that do it all? Yeah. All the time. And you're always going to be busy. You're always going to have something else to do. But in the midst of it, it's easy for us to lose our focus as to who we are and what we're here for. I can easily get distracted with the fact that my son woke up in PETA's bed, through the comforter, through the sheets, through everything, you know, somebody's coming to my house right now and I have to like have everything perfect and, you know, all the stuff that happens, you know, and then my little baby, he never poops. Of course, he poops all over himself this morning and, you know, I mean, these things happen. The practical things in life will happen. They'll always be there. But you know what? I can't lose focus of who I really am in that moment. Because God designed me to be Micah's mom. God designed me to change that poopy diaper. God designed you to be that trying husband's wife. God designed you to be that kid's mom. Because no one else can do it. You're not called to live this glamorous life. It's not always an easy thing to be a Christian here in this day and age, is it? We're being yelled at, bombarded with. The news is telling us what's cool, what's not cool. They're telling us what to believe and what not to believe. You go out in society and everything that God says is wrong, is okay. You know, the church in the olden days had persecution, you know, through harm. They were beaten. They were, you know, stripped. Their skin was ripped off of them. Things, horrible, horrible things were happening to the Christians back then. Our persecution may be different. But listen, we are no different than them. They were Christians then, and we need to be Christians now. And we never know what this day and age is going to come to. Yeah, we live in this nice, sweet country called America, but one day you may be faced with life and death for the name of Christ. And my question to you is, where and what will you decide and choose to say and do? Death or eternity in heaven? And I'm challenging you with that today. You go, "Guy, that's so deep, Jess." Yeah, it is deep. You know why? Because God's coming back. And he really, really needs us to get our acts together. This needs to not be about us. This needs to be about him. And so the message is called, "Will the Real Christians Please Stand Up?" And as a pastor, I watch a day in and day out. I watch family members not be real Christians. Day in and day out. I watch the body of Christ want real quick answers and want me to give them a padded answer and want me to tickle their ears with goodness. Yet not willing to pay a price when they go home. Not willing to do the job when they go home. Enough's enough. We're done. This house, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, is not going to be wimpy Christians anymore. I don't pastor a bunch of wimpy Christians. Okay? So if you're sitting in this room, today is going to be a day that you need to get your pens and papers out. You need to examine your life. You need to examine what you've been doing, and you need to begin and be ready right now to change. Because God is calling us to change. He's calling us into holiness. And enough's enough. Enough's enough. So I love you. I adore you. And because I love you, we're going to get into the Word today. We're going to find out what God says. You ready? I was listening to the radio. And I was listening, I don't know, some guys on KFI. Sometimes they can be so mean, right? But they were talking about something, and sometimes I just get sick of listening to music, and I need to hear, like, people talking. So I turned this on, and they were talking about the presidents of the United States and who's a Christian and who's not. I thought, oh, this is interesting. Let me listen to this. And they started to go through every single president. And one of the people that was talking to the other newscaster, he said, "Okay, well, what about this president?" He's like, "No, he wasn't a Christian." "What about this president?" "No, he wasn't a Christian." And he brought up Bush Jr. "What about Bush Jr.?" "Yes, I believe he was a Christian." And you know what that newscaster called us? "Those people know he's real." And I thought to myself, those people? That's funny. We're those people. And they said, and he said, well, how do you know he's different than, you know, Obama says he's a Christian? And he goes, yeah, but there was a sincerity in his walk with God. This is what this guy said. He's not saved. He doesn't know Christians. We are those people to him. To him, we are those people. And I thought to myself, wow, the world can see a sincere heart for the things of Christ. Who do we think we're fooling? If you call yourself a Christian and you aren't acting like it outside these four walls. We may not agree with what Bush or Obama or whatever any of the presidents have done, because all of them can never win, right? Either way. But the point of this is that he said you could know him by his sincerity of his love for Christ. Were the other presidents that said they were Christians, he goes, yeah, that one was. He said Jimmy Carter was. I don't know. I was too young to even know that. And he said some other ones. He goes, yeah, but they weren't as sincere as these. And it was so interesting to me that in their walk as a president, they were being examined. People were watching them. And then he said this. He said, the reason that some of these people in office are so on the chopping block is because they are so prevalent in their religion. People know they're Christians. People know they love God. People know that. So they are either hated or they're loved. And he said, in most of America, religion is important to them still, which I thought was comforting, that somebody unsaved thought that. So this is the country we live in. Our presidents are being watched. How much more are you being watched? Because if people are looking for God, where are they going to find him? They're going to find him in you and I. They're going to be watching no matter what you're doing. You go, oh, well, God, I don't want to be, you know, under the limelight. I don't want to be watched, Pastor Jess. Well, too bad. You know, I mean, how, you think I like living in a fishbowl? I don't. You know, just so you know, pastors' kids and pastors live in a fishbowl. There's no privacy. The world knows everything. You know, it's okay. That's what I know God has asked me to do. I'm okay with that. But you need to be okay with it too, because I'm not the only one on the limelight and under a magnifying glass. You are too. And God is asking the real Christians to please stand up. And I want one day, I want someone talking about me and saying, oh, well, yep, that Pastor Jess, she was sincere in her walk with God. That's what I want to be said about me. I don't want them to say, oh, well, you know, they called themselves a Christian for political reasons, but I don't think they really were. I do not want that said about me. Oh, well, she said she was a Christian because her mommy and daddy were pastors. No. This is my walk, my relationship with the Lord. What is your walk and your relationship with the Lord like? Because your family members are watching you. Your children are watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. The world is watching us. Especially as it continues to get darker and darker and darker and darker. They are going to be looking for light. And you can be that horrible, dim, flickering light. Or you can be this bright light that people are attracted to and want to be like you and want to know what you have and want to know the goodness of God. It's your choice. In Daniel 3, if you go there with me, you guys have your word today? Yeah. Pull it out. Start flipping pages. I know we always have it up on the screens for you, but it's good for you to bring your word. It's good for you to know where it is, so when hell hits, you know where to go. It's about Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you have heard this little story? When we were in Bible, you know, Bible study as a little kid, they always said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went into the fiery furnace. Listen, this is a tough story, actually. This is not no felt board story. This is deep. Here's this king, and he says, I'm going to make a golden image, and everybody has to bow to it. When you hear the worshiping going on, you bow. That's the rules. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were part of the hierarchy of that time. And when it came to the point when the worshiping and the music started, they stood. Daniel 3:16. Nebuchadnezzar pulls them out. He's mad. He's mad these guys did not bow before his God. He's mad that they disobeyed his authority. He's mad that they went against the whole land. How dare they? Who do they think they are? And in verse 16, we're going to start there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, and they said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. He wants an answer from them. And they say in 17, if that is the case, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he who delivered us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will worship the gold image in which you have set up. He's saying, you're going into the fiery furnace. And they're saying, well, our God will save us. And even if he doesn't, he's still God. And even if he doesn't, then I've given my life for him, and it's worth it all. Because in eternity, they know where they're going. They know that there's a bigger picture here. They took a stand when everybody else bowed down to what was common, bowed down to what was supposed to happen, bowed down to what the king said. Listen, there's always going to be someone telling you to do something opposite of what God is telling you to do. And it's never going to be easy to take God's way. You know how they say, well, if you have peace about it, take that road. Most of the time, there's not a lot of peace. Most of the time, God wants us to step out onto the water in faith. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Now, we are training you and equipping you to be women of faith here. Because when the rubber meets the road, you don't have time to wait on peace. You have to know, what does my word say? What would God want from me? What does his word say? What does God want from me? What does his word say? What does God want from me? Do you get it? What does God want from me? Well, what does his word say? There's your answer. What does the word of God say? You say, oh, I've been waiting. I've been pleading. I've been fasting, trying to find out what God wants from me. Maybe it's right in front of your face. And maybe you just don't like the answer, so you keep pushing for a different one. Does your kids do that to you? Because mine do. Mommy, can I have that piece of candy? No. Mommy, can I have that piece of candy? No. Mommy, can I have that piece of candy? Listen, if you ask me for another piece of candy, you're going to get a spanking with it. Seriously. What do you think God does? He loves us like a father, and he's going to chasten us so that we turn around from what we're doing and turn back to the direction he needs us to go to, because we're Christians. And if we're calling ourselves Christians, do you know what Christian is? Christ-likeness. Little Christ. Hello? If we're supposed to be like him, but we're not acting like him, we're not doing what his word says, we're not being who we need to be, we're being these wimpy, weak Christians, whose name are we putting through the coals? Not yours. You're putting his name through the coals because they're watching you. So God is saying, will the real Christians please stand up? I need some Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's in this day and age. I need someone to take a stand and say, all right, fine, God, enough's enough. How do I be this Christian then? Lord, how do I turn from those things that are so common to me in my world? How, God, then do I take that next step of being this real Christian? Let's start on some practical things real quick, and then we'll get into the points. What kind of music are you listening to? What you put in is what you get out. Garbage in, as Pastor Eddie used to say, and garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. That's easy to remember, right? Well, if your music isn't Christian, and it's not edifying your spirit, and it's not building you up on a daily basis, I suggest you change it. You say, oh, God, you're just one of those sold-out Christians. Darn right I'm one of those sold-out Christians. I used to listen to that crap. Excuse my words. There's nothing good coming out of it. Sex, drugs, I hate the whole thing. Oh, well, I just listen to the beat. Oh, bull, you do not. Because whatever you're listening to gets into your heart. And when hell hits the fan, because it will, that's what's going to come out. What are you putting in? What are you watching on TV? What you put in your eye gates goes into your heart. What are you watching on TV? I know Dan and I, we literally block everything that's like PG-13 and above on our TV. We could just block it all. I've had people come over and be like, really, you can't even watch that? Well, no, I can't. My children are sitting right here. And no. And you know what? I'm a better person because of it. This is just junk anyways. You know, there's been so many times that I've tried to watch them. I'm like, I just have to turn this off. It's so annoying. But that's good. If you're getting to that point where spirit is like, ugh, I just can't watch this. How many movies have you walked out of lately that you probably should have? You probably see me and Pastor Dan walking out of a lot of movies because we don't get to go often. And every time we get to go, we have to walk out. Listen, what are you talking to other people about? Girls, we're gossipers. That's what we're supposedly known for. What are you saying that you shouldn't be saying? Okay, so what are you putting in is what you get out. What you speak is what you reap. You got it? What you sow is what you reap. Are you speaking life? Are you rehearsing things that are happening that are bad and you're ruled over and over and over and over again? You call this person to talk about it. You call this person to talk about it. You call this person to talk about it. And then you get off the phone and you're like, God, I'm just so sick of talking about it. Well, shut up. Stop talking about it. If you find yourself exhausted with the matter, it's too much. You need to stop. These are just little hints. If you need to write that down, if you're exhausted, shut up. But listen, I'm not up here saying I'm not like that. I'm saying I'm so girl. I'm so there with you. I understand, okay? But God is challenging us and asking all of us to stand up and be real Christians. And so you say, okay, well, Pastor Jess, how do we do that? All right, he's given me some points. What does a real Christian look like? Examine yourself and see if you're any of these things and see if you're not some of these things. Okay? Number one, a real Christian is to be humble and ready for God's plan, not yours. St. Augustine said, do you wish to rise? Then begin descending. You plan a tower that will pierce the clouds, but first lay a foundation of humility. Definition of humble is to make humble or lowly in mind, to abase in pride of or ignorance of, to reduce the self-sufficiency of, to make meek and submissive, not to make weak and submissive, to make meek. I believe someone who is meek is actually strong. Somebody who is submissive is free. You see, the world has taken these things that God talks about, twisted them, and changed their meanings. But in the kingdom, to be meek is to be strong. In the kingdom, to be submissive to your boss, to your husband, to the things of God, is to be free. Because you're walking in his purpose, his will, his way, and blessing will come from that. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. If you're looking for other people to make you feel good, don't. If you're looking for someone to give you that position, maybe at your job you're looking for that position, I'm working my butt off and they're just not noticing me. Well, you know what? It's not their job. He will raise you up when the time is right. Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Think about that. He says he's going to be in heaven with those with a humble and contrite spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble, that's what he's doing today. He's reviving us. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Those that you know that are just turned from God. Those that are like, been there once, don't want to go there. He's going to revive them. He's going to awaken them, but he's going to do it through you. Because he needs the humble. He needs you to lower yourself. You know, it's funny, men deal with pride, right? How many of you know a man that is just like prideful? You could just say, everybody should raise your hand. Because this is a thing that men deal with. Guess what? You deal with it too. Women's pride is their insecurity. And listen, we have got to die to ourselves. When you want to say something bad about yourself, you think that's being humble? That's not being humble. Sometimes that's being manipulative because you want someone to give you a little compliment. You want someone to tell you, oh no, you're wonderful. Or oh no, you look cute, you're not fat. Oh no, you know, you look great. Sometimes you've done something and you know you shouldn't have, so you seek approval from other people and they're going to confirm and they're going to say, no, you were fine in saying that. You were okay. But if the Holy Spirit is saying, no, you weren't okay. You see, being humble is not to be at your lowly state like you're all beat up, broken. You know these pastors that walk around and say, oh, I can't have anything for the kingdom. I got to have a tore up, broken down car, no house. I got to be broke, busted, and disgusted. I hate that. How is that a picture of Christ? He was not broke, busted, and disgusted. He's the one that made the heavens and the earth. He's the one that created the seas and the oceans. And he's the one that gave us life and breath. And you think he wants us to live on this earth broke, busted, and disgusted? So no one can follow you and they can just be broke, busted, and disgusted themselves? Pastor Jim and Deborah are where they're at so you can follow them and you could be where they're at one day. And I lived with them when they were broke, busted, and disgusted. Okay? So don't think that they all have it now. No, they paid a price. And they were humble. And they still are. Let me tell you, to give my mom that birthday party was like hell. Because she didn't want anyone talking about her. She didn't want any acknowledgement. She hates it. Because she knows her true identity here on earth is to be with the King. And it is all for him. And if we change that in our minds, girls, and we become humble, and we say, okay, then, Lord, what is your will? What is your plan for my life? Everything begins to change. Your perspective, the reasoning for why you wanted something no longer is there anymore because that was, you know, maybe a fleshly desire. That was maybe a you want and not a God want. And these things God is asking us to stir and to change. No more does he want us to have a you, an us want. You know where the verse says that he will give you the desires of your heart? Those desires are what he put in your heart. I remember telling my parents, I never want to be in ministry. Never. People are mean to you. This is horrible. We don't have any money. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. I hated it. Luke hated it. Miranda hated it. We all hated it. Pastor Sue, did your kids hate it? Yes. Pat Eleanor, do they hate it? We live in a fishbowl as PKs. But listen, I told God, I will never be on that platform and preach. I'm going to be a nurse. That's what I told him. Okay, mind you, I can't even look at a needle. Okay, so God had to change my plans, and he had to change my heart. And then I started to desire people, and I wanted to be with people, and I wanted to help people, and I started to desire the Word, and I began to get a hunger for the things of God and a hunger for the Word. And I was like, what is happening to me? And I remember being in school, and I could not get into nursing school for the life of me. Like, they never pulled my name from the little thing, you know? And I just remember sitting in this art history class, and I remember going, who cares what stupid statue that is? Because I don't care. You know, my mom's a history buff. I can't stand it. Luke loves it. I hate it. Me and my dad are like, let's go watch a movie, dude. So I'm sitting in this art history class, and I'm like, I have to do this to be a nurse. And he goes, no, you don't. And I heard him audibly. And he said, you're doing this in your own power. You're trying to make something happen that was never intended to happen. And he goes, get up from this class and leave and don't return. And I'm like, you're telling me to drop out of college? Like, what kind of God are you? You know, like. And he goes, I told you to go to Bible college, and I told you you would go with your husband. And I was like, well, there's a problem here. There's no man in the picture. And I remember walking out of there going, all right, cool, I don't got to take the class anymore. And I just got to tell my mom, well, God told me. It worked because she's so spiritual, you know. So she was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm sure he did, you know. Let's believe God for Rima, you know. So I began to work in the youth ministry, and I began, and then Dan came into my life. And as soon as Dan and I talked, he was like, I've always wanted to go to Bible college. And I said, well, so do I. And he goes, well, let's talk to your dad and find out what school he recommends. And I go, well, I don't really want to go here because, you know, it's here. I want to get away. I don't want people to know who I am. I just want to be able to sit in a class and just get fed. Just get fed. And he goes, okay, well, let's go ask your dad. And so we went and we asked, and he said, Rhema will teach you faith and healing, and that's what you guys need. And he goes, now, when you want to know the heart of God, come back here. But go for faith and healing. And we were like, okay. What was I thinking? Have you ever been to Oklahoma? It is hell. And if you're listening by CD or whatever, God bless you if you live there. Because it is so the dry and weary land, but it's the perfect place for Bible college. Because it challenged our faith to the nth degree. There were so many times there weren't bills paid. There were so many times that we were learning how to be married. Oh, it was our first year. I mean, we got married 2 weeks later. We went to Bible college by ourselves, no one. And then I brought my brother with me, so that's like having a baby. So, and then Joey and James. So I took care of all the boys there. So I was already Mama Bear, as I say to them. I used to go to the bathroom before I went to their house on purpose, you know. So God changed my plans, and he put those things inside of me. He put desires inside of me I never thought would be there. What? A long time ago has God put inside of you. Maybe you were at camp. And you're now an adult and you have kids and God put something inside your heart at camp. Maybe you were at a conference and God spoke something to you. And you kind of pushed it down and said, it's cool, God, I got my own plans. You see, you need to humble yourself enough to go back to your prayer closet and go back to what God told you to do. Okay? Because he needs us to be ready for what he needs. And that is, first of all, he's asking us to be humble. Die to ourselves for his cause. Number two, speak with boldness his truth. Speak with boldness his truth. How many times have you been somewhere and God said, tell somebody something? And you didn't do it. I think that is like the worst feeling, worse than if you would have just done it. Because I have not done it, and I have like paid for it for months later, like repenting before. I'm so sorry, I so should have. I remember one time I was at Home Goods. Good store, it's a great store. So I was at Home Goods, and I remember Dan and I, we were really tight on money, but I had to buy, I think I was buying a gift for someone. And we only had enough money for that gift. And the lady in front of me, she really wanted this tree. Like, she had a ton of stuff, and she wanted the tree, right? So I'm thinking, put the tree away, you know? Pastors, this is what we think. So she's like, well, I guess I just can't get it. And the Holy Spirit told me, buy that for her. And I'm like, no, I can't even buy the sheets. I think I was buying sheets. I can't even buy the sheets. Like, we are believing you for sheets, and you want me to buy the tree? And he's like, buy the tree for her. I think he told me like three times. She left. I didn't buy the tree. Stubborn, stinking cobra here, you know. Yes, I'm a Roth, but truly I'm a cobra, and I was stubborn. And so I sat there, and I was like, no, 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 and I dug my heels into the ground. I'm not doing it. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit tainted me all week long. Why didn't you obey me? You should have done what I said. And you know what? I don't think that was evil. I think he was trying to pay me a little visit. Like, what were you doing? And I sat there and I asked God to send someone else across her path because that could have been something that that woman might have needed at that moment. It could have opened up a conversation about Christ. It could have done so much, yet I missed that opportunity. How many opportunities have you missed? How many? It may not just be family members. It may be the person at the store. It may be at the park where your kids are playing. It may be, you know, when you're rushing. Hello, I'm rushing all the time. I don't think I just go calmly anywhere. I just rush everywhere I go. Come on, kids, we're going. You'll see me and my ducklings around, you know. That's what we do. And God has told me many times, slow down. You're going to miss an opportunity. Okay, so after that experience, I'm giving you examples of my life so maybe you can relate, okay? I went to the ER because something was wrong with, I don't remember, my ears or something. And I was sitting there, and this girl's bawling, crying. She is hurt. There's something wrong with her. And I'm thinking, I should not be here. She should be here. And God says to me, you're here because you need to pray for her. And I'm like, okay, and the way that the ER is set up, like, everybody sits really close to each other, and I'm like, it's a little awkward, what do I say? You know, like, hey, can I pray for you? Well, yeah. And so I go, no, it's cool, she's okay, she'll be okay. And God's like, are you going to do it? And I'm like, I don't know. And he goes, that's okay, I'll leave you alone. And at that point, like, the fear of God came on me, like, don't leave me alone, I know what that means. And it got like a flashback of the lady in the tree, you know, like, oh no, I got to pray for her. So she came back and she went to the counter. She came back. I said, listen, can I pray for you? And she and her mom goes, oh, please pray for her. And I'm like, okay. And everyone in the ER is like this now. And I'm going, well, I could break out in tongues in here. We could go out in the hallway. Probably should go out in the hallway. So we go out in the hallway, and I pray for her, and she's a young adult, and she'd gotten hurt, and I just started to pray for her, and I don't even know if it did anything, but I was able to invite them to church. I was able to tell them where I'm from. I was able to tell them that Jesus loves them, and if anything, I have to trust that God did something in that. And I had to do it with boldness, you guys. I had to get past me because me wanted to run and say, oh, more convenient for me not to. More unawkward for me not to. More, less uncomfortable for me not to. And God's saying, no, 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 it doesn't matter about you. Get you out of the way because you are only here for me anyways. Do you see what I'm saying? See what he's getting at? In Acts 20:27, Paul is talking. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified so you guys could just put it up here. For I never shrank or kept back or fell short from declaring to you the whole purpose and the plan and counsel of God. Can you say that? Can you say that? I don't shrink back. I can finally say that about the year. I didn't shrink back. I did it. I can't say that about when I was at Home Goods. No, I was a little like fool running between my legs. Like, oh, enough. Let's be real Christians. Let's take a stand. You know, here's Paul, shipwrecked, beaten, a bloody mess for the kingdom of God. He was bold like Pastor Jim. He said it how it was. He didn't care if people liked him or not. And let me tell you, most of the time that you begin to love and cherish people, but yet have to be honest with them about the word of God, you're not going to be liked. If they're in sin, they want to hear what they want to hear. But you have to trust that whatever goes out of your mouth does not turn void. You have to speak with boldness. Paul said, there was like a thing explaining Paul. So let's look at Paul's life real quick. Paul was no designing, self-seeking man. Those who would in any office serve the Lord excessively and profitably to others, most do it with humility. He was a plain preacher, one that spoke his message so as to be understood. He was a powerful preacher. He preached the gospel as a testimony to them if they received it, but as a testimony against them if they rejected it. I like that. if they received it, but as a testimony against them if they rejected it. How many people do you know in your world that if you were to approach them right now and say, you really are not a Christian like you should be, would they reject what you say? I've had it happen to me recently. Some family members. I'm going, hello? Are you listening? They're not. They're rejecting it. But listen, I've got to be in prayer for them. I'm not giving up. But listen, there comes a point when you just don't need to go there anymore too. And you need to go into battle with prayer. Okay? So speak it. If they don't accept it, go to prayer. He was a profitable teacher, one that aimed to inform their judgments and reform their hearts and lives. He was a painful preacher, very industrious in his work. He was a faithful preacher. He did not keep back reproofs with necessary, nor keep back the preaching of the cross. He was truly a Christian. Evangelical preacher. He did not preach notions or doubtful matters, nor affairs of state or civil government, but he preached faith and repentance. A better summary of these things. Without there is no salvation, and salvation cannot be given. Paul paid a price. Paul spoke with boldness. Paul said it like it was. Some of us, our personalities are much more timid. You're not a me. I'll just say it, and if I offend you, I'll pray for you later. No, just kidding. Kidding. But I'll just say it, and I'm not scared of your faces, because I really believe that one day I'm going to have to answer to God. And so some of you, though, you're face-to-face with a family member, you're face-to-face with a friend, or you're face-to-face with a coworker, and you have the answer, and it's burning in this inside of you, and you cannot, for some reason, let it out. And God is saying, enough's enough. Now's your time. I'm going to give you a situation. It will come across your path this week, girls, because you've now heard. And your challenge will be to speak his word with boldness and truth. Speak his word with boldness and truth. And don't apologize for it. And there's the key. Do not apologize for the word of God. Be bold. Take your stand. Know what God has for you. Speak with boldness as if Paul did his whole life. Number three, do not conform to this world. Remember how I said a little in and that's what comes out? I'm just going to hang out with that person, that old friend from high school. You know, she really needs me. Okay. Take her to lunch. Witness to her. Bless her. Show her the love of Christ. Don't you be going to the club with her on Friday night. Especially if you're married. Don't you be going to meet her at the bar over at El Torito. We laugh. It's not funny. Because you do it. I see you. I'm just going to help that friend. We're going to hang out tonight. All of a sudden, there's beer involved in it. Wrong place, the wrong time. You know, I would normally preach this to teenagers, but us adults need to hear it too. Amen. Because where do you think these teenagers learn it? Mom and dad. Auntie and uncle. The adults in the world are not doing what they should be doing. And we wonder why the teenagers have gone crazy. And I'll tell you why. It's because you're not a real Christian. You are not taking your place. You are not being who you need to be. What kind of example do they have? And I'm going to get in your face because I care about the next generation too. I believe that they're going to come against such spiritual attacks that they better be ready for it. I trained my daughter up that, honey, if someone told you that you had to die, or serve God, or die. Stop serving God or die. What would you do? And Chloe knows that she would rather be with her king. She tells me every day, God, I hate that she says this, but she says, Mom, I can't wait to go home and be with my king. Now, in Jesus' name, long for life for her. But what kind of heart is that already? That the things of this world do not even come. They don't even matter. You're going to look back a year from now and go, why was I so worried about that? Why didn't I just speak the boldness of Christ in that situation? Why did I not just humble myself and give in to what God wanted instead of fighting God all the time? Why did I let the things of this world come and sway my decision? Come and sway who I am. Come and sway what I know the Word has taught me. Why? Now listen, this may get uncomfortable for you because some of you, it's your husband. And you're one, and you're living in the same house. And there's some ungodly things happening, and you want to stay righteous. Guess what? You can. God sees you. He knows you. You keep your heart just and right before the Lord, and you bring your husband up in prayer. And you don't give up. My dad prayed for my sister Kim her whole life. Kim was out on drugs. Kim lived in Las Vegas. She was doing everything under the sun, and she disowned us because we loved God. And my dad never gave up on her. Don't you give up. As much as the flesh in me wants to say, dude, walk away, he's messed up. Maybe you need to actually be praying. Maybe you need to be holding your ground. Maybe you need to be holding on. Like, picture yourself holding on to that house and going, no, devil, you cannot have him. You cannot have my children. You cannot have this. And listen, stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. Because the more that you rehearse it, the more that you talk about it, the more the enemy can come in and get into that little wedge, get into that little wedge, get into that little wedge. Bring it before the Lord, leave it there, and don't talk about it. And be a woman of meekness, which is also strong in strength. And come under the submission of your husband. And if he's making wrong and ungodly decisions, that's a whole nother issue. But come under him and say, I love you, God, and I'm going to serve my husband like you've asked me to, and I pray for his salvation. And I pray that, God, that you will keep this family together in a way that only you can, God. Because right now it looks like nothing can. And I'm challenging some of you, and you're going, you don't live with him. No, I don't. And I feel for you. But listen, I know my God. And I know he never asks us to do things that are easy. No matter what your thing is, he doesn't ask us to do things that are easy. Life is not easy. It's not a bed of roses. We can't dance in the park with our ballerina shoes on and think everything is great. Girls, you got to get your swords out. You got to get your shields out. You got to shut your mouth. You got to get in faith, and you got to move on. Okay? Enough's enough. We are going to not allow the world to conform us, but we are going to conform the world around us with the things of God. I love the word. It says in Isaiah 5:20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, but who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In Romans 12:2, it says, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what you're doing today, girls. You're doing it. You're here. You're renewing your mind. Because you're going to go back home into that environment. But right now, you're renewing your mind so you can go back home into that environment the way God needs you to. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I said my dad prayed for Kim, remember? Kim is serving the Lord. Kim is the strongest person I've ever in my life met. And anything that comes against that girl, she is in faith. She knows what she's doing. She knows what the word says. She is strong. But only because I believe my dad's prayers. And now when the world tries to conform to her, she kicks that out, man. She ain't no joke. She is no joke because she's been there. She's done that. She's like, why would I go back to that? Listen. Girls, remember where you came from. Don't conform back to that junk. Who wants to go back there? You know, I watch these shows where they're clubbing and they're doing all that kind of, I'm like going, ugh. I don't even know why you'd want to be in that environment anymore. Nothing but hell there. And you know, God has asked us to not conform. What's wrong is right in our society. But listen, God says, no, what's wrong is what I say is wrong. And what is good is what I say is good. And that's where your stand needs to be in your homes. What is good and what is bad. And what God says is what is good. Okay? So you might say, well, but society says, oh, who cares? What does the word say? Remember, let's go back to what the word says. The word says that it's wrong. Sex before marriage, it's wrong. Amen. Homosexuality, it's wrong. Lust, it's wrong. God talks about these things. Drunkenness, it's wrong. Adultery, it's wrong. Sorry, you can justify it and turn it and spin it any way you want. It's wrong. It doesn't mean that God can't redeem it. It doesn't mean that we as Christians don't love the people that are in sin and we're going to help redeem them back to Christ. But it means that I'm taking a stand and I'm saying, I'm not agreeing with you on this. It's wrong. Don't try and tell me it's right. And until we, as a body of Christ, take a stand in our society, people, these matters are coming up in our political arenas. Do you know they're trying to outlaw spanking? What does the word talk about? Train up a child with the rod of correction. He's not talking about beating your child. He's talking about doing it right. So those of you that have been beat, I'm very sorry. That is wrong. But if you got a little swat on your butt, that was good for you. Because you're probably better off today because of it. But everyone is going to be yelling at us, telling us that this is okay. Why are you not accepting it? You know why? Because my word says it's wrong. And I'm not going to let you conform me. But I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And what the word of God says goes. And that's the type of woman you need to be. That's the type of household you need to be raising. You understand? You may say, well, I've already raised my kids and I didn't do that. That's okay. Do you have grandkids? Are your kids alive? They're still your kids. You still speak into their lives. As much as kids act like they hate their parents, all they want is for approval from their parents. No matter how old you get. Listen. Give them the word. It's the best thing you could do for your families. Give them the word. Speak it with boldness. Do not let this world conform them, but show them what God says. And number four, have confidence in our Maker. Philippians 1:6 in the Amplified, it says, and I am convinced and sure this very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will continue until the day of Christ, right up until the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it. I want to be complete in the things of God. I want to know that what I'm doing it through him and in him and because he's asked me to do it. And whether or not it looks like something I can do, it doesn't matter. Because I have confidence that he is going to bring the outcome to what he needs it to be. Listen. You, every day, are faced with decisions. Every day we get up in the morning and we have a choice. We have a choice where we're going to go. We have a choice how we're going to respond to people. We have a choice what kind of attitude we're going to be in. I'm speaking to me. We have a choice. And listen, we have to know who our Maker is. And when we know who he is, all of that falls into place. There's confidence in it. In Romans 8:37-39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Maybe we should say that backwards. For him who has loved us, because he has, we are more than conquerors. You are not a conqueror in your own ability. You cannot do this on your own. He never intended for it to be that way. He says that because of me, daughter, because I am king, because I am Alpha Omega, because I am the beginning and the end, because I'm the one that created the heavens and the earth, because I am the one that formed you out of the dust and out of the rib of Adam, because I am the one who knew you before you were even born, because I'm the one that knows every hair on your head, and when it falls on the ground and you lose it in the shower, I know what's left. That is what he's saying, because of who I am. Not because of who you are, you just get the benefit of conquering in it because of who I am. Girls, this is not about us. This is about him. We are just vessels for the kingdom of God. Each and every one of you is valuable. And every person in your world is valuable. And listen, you can change the world that you have been given through him. You can conquer it. You may have lost confidence. You came in this room today and you're like, I just don't like that husband of mine. Nope. Had those conversations a lot with people lately. I just don't like him. Well, that's nice, but God never cared if you liked him. He asked you to pray for him. He asked you to love him. Asked you to marry him, didn't he? So it's your responsibility to pray, love, be in faith. Listen, you may have walked in this room and you have a broken heart because you've lost confidence in your children. What happened to my angel? I'm hoping Mike is like opposite because he's so not the angel right now. So maybe when he's a teenager, he'll be the angel. In Jesus' name. Whatever it is that you're facing, you've lost confidence in your job. Maybe they're not paying you like they should. Maybe they're doing things under the table. Maybe they're being unjust and unholy and unrighteous. And you're watching this happen day in and day out, and you're going, this is wrong. But listen, God has called you to be more than a conqueror in those situations. And when you know that you know that you know who your maker is, and when you know that you know that you know who your king is, and when you know that you know that you know who your source is, and when you know that you know that you know that God does not renege on you, he doesn't tell you to do something in the word and then not activate it. He doesn't ask you to pray to not answer it. He doesn't ask you to get in faith to let you not have the result. He doesn't get you in faith so that you can see things fail. God says, God says, God says, God says, God says, and put your situation in there. God says, my husband will serve the Lord with all his heart. God says, my children will rise and bless his name and make his name famous. God says that my body is healed by the stripes on the cross and no weapon formed against me will prosper. That is what God says. And if you've been saying something else, you need to repent. God says. And that's that. God says, and that's that. God says, and that's that. So when someone else is talking, shut them up. God says. God says. God says, my kids are going to serve the Lord. God says, my husband is going to turn from his wicked ways and serve the Lord with all his heart. God says. That no weapon formed against my family will prosper. All these demonic things that are coming against us, we rebuke them. We send them back to hell where they belong. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. God says that these generational things that have gone down and gone down and gone down and gone down, my maker says, I don't have to put up with it. My maker says, my children will not be that way. My maker says, that they will rise and call his name famous. And I'm mad, girls, because I am sick of the devil lying to us. I am sick of you being wimpy Christians. I'm sick of it. You can pray. Get on your knees and start praying. You don't need us to pray for you all the time. We do. But listen, there's nothing different about my prayer than yours. get in faith. You got a bad report about your healing? What does the word say? You gonna go plan your funeral? Oh, come on! God says you're healed by his stripes on the cross. Did he create you? Did he mold you? Did he shape you? Did he form you? Is the devil trying to take you out sooner than you were supposed to be taken out? Don't put up with it. Get a fighting spirit. Enough's enough. And I'm sick of these wimpy Christians. Wake up! Because the enemy is coming out. And he is stirring, and he is shaking your families, and he is ready, and he's waiting to attack you. And you better stand your ground, and you better pull out that sword of the Spirit. You better say, my God says. Because enough. And if I'm yelling and pissed off, I am. Because you know what? Oh, well. And listen, we have something bigger than what we are facing. Amen. And that's called God. Yes. So whatever you're boohooing about, because believe me, we all can have something to boohoo about. We're girls. We're going to not boohoo anymore. We're going to stand up right now. And listen, if I can get the worship team up here, I want you to play your fast song. You're going to play your fast song. We ain't going no Tinder anymore. We're going to fight. Now listen. This is what we're going to do. You remember they marched around the city gate? And then they yelled, woo! Listen. Okay. This is what we're going to do. I want you to think about what you've been faced with. I want you to think about what God's asked you to do and you haven't done it. I want you to think about the unboldness you've had. I want you to think about the wimpy Christian you've been. And I want you to say, no more.
No more.
No more. I'm going to serve you, God. With all my heart. With all my soul. I will not conform to the things of this world. But I will be renewed with your spirit. Listen, I want you to shout out, I want you to yell out a shout like you've never, ever, ever yelled before from the inside. And I want you to scream as loud as you can at the devil and tell him to go right back to hell, because that's where he belongs. Are you ready? One, two, three.